you are not following our next guest, I don't know what you're doing. If you're not going to bracketwag.com every morning, I don't know what you're doing. You can also find his handiwork at USA Today. 2 weeks from today, we have brackets, and we have Shelby Mast right now. How would you describe this last week? Somebody that does what you do, 18 of the 25 ranked teams lose, including some key people on 1, 2, and 3 lines. How was the last week in terms of a bracket changing?
It was fun, but it was definitely a chore. You had to muddle through off everything. What you have to remember when doing these is it doesn't matter what recently you've done, it's what you've done for the whole year. And so you just got to factor those wins and losses in one game at a time and look at the whole resume and see how it's changed.
Without looking at the way you put teams into a bracket, just you as the amount of basketball that you watch, as we hit March 1, in your opinion, who is the best team in the country right now?
I've been saying Gonzaga since day one, and they haven't done anything to change my mind. They have played, I don't want to say bad, but not as good past couple of weeks. But they kind of needed to rest, give the players some time off. So maybe that's what they were doing. But until I see another team that wows me like they did early on, I'm going to stick with them.
And they've won all of – I mean, I think they're the first team ever to go through their entire conference schedule and win every game by double figures. You have any worry about the impact that COVID has had on Baylor? We've seen them against Iowa State. We've seen them against KU. Kansas played, for the most part – very well the other night, but Baylor, is they're not shooting the ball from three-point range as well anymore. Any lingering doubt about the impact of COVID on this Baylor team that could derail what might be a magical season?
Not yet. There will be if they lose in the Big 12, they lose tomorrow night. They could do that. They haven't looked good after this latest layoff, but there's been lots of teams that have had to go through it, and laying off from COVID can be a good thing. It can be a bad thing. It depends on how your team reacts. They haven't looked good since they've been back, but they've got time to pick it back up. I think they'll be a one seed still, but can they get back to magic, so to speak, that they've had?
So with that said, Ohio State, who they're on a three-game losing streak, yesterday got ugly against Iowa. That was a huge win for the Hawkeyes. We'll get to them in a moment. Did Ohio State take themselves out of being on the number one line?
For the time being, at least. I don't know. I don't think they are completely out of the discussion, but they had to move down. You lose third in a row, you've got to move. And Illinois has been good enough to take their spot.
So Illinois and Michigan play tomorrow, and you've been pretty consistent. Michigan, Baylor, Gonzaga have been there. Illinois has elevated into that fourth number one. How wide open are the number of teams that could vie for that fourth number one seed, in your opinion?
I think there's probably 8 teams that can vie for it. I'm not maybe 7 for sure, but maybe 8. I think Alabama, I think Iowa, and I think Ohio State still, maybe West Virginia. Michigan, Illinois tomorrow night, the loser does not fall from the one line. I think the winner, if it's Michigan, then they jump ahead of Baylor. But if it's Illinois, they'll probably stay right where they are. It's going to be a fun game, but I don't think it'll really have an impact on it.
Does Alabama have a chance to be a number one seed? And if they do, how do they get there?
I think they do. They need some things to happen, most notably. They've got to win the rest of the game, win this week, and win the Southeast Conference Tournament. And then hope for a team like Wisconsin or Michigan State or somebody on the outside of the Big Four in the Big Ten to win the tournament. And then they have a shot.
Shelby Mast joining us here on the Gary Sharp Show. Shelby does the brackets for USA Today. You can find his handiwork at bracketwag.com, and he's updating them every single morning. I see the tweet when I wake up, and I click on it, and you see the movement, as Shelby just alluded to, with Ohio State losing yesterday, their third in a row. Illinois has moved up. Great game in the Big Ten tomorrow night. We have a great game with local interest, Shelby, in the Big East on Wednesday night. Villanova and Creighton. Villanova, not a good loss yesterday. Indianapolis against Butler, and it was, 73-61? I don't think the game was that close. Villanova was awful from the outside. Villanova has been one of those teams that has hung around the 1, the 2, the 3 line. What's your impression right now of Villanova's resume, Shelby?
They have the resume of a good 5 seed, but the committee really liked them enough to give them a 2 seed at the reveal 2 weeks ago. And they've only had a couple losses since then. So I think that basing it off a 2 seed, off of what the resume had then and what it has now, it hadn't changed a whole lot. Just a couple more losses, a couple more games. But if the committee held them that high, there's a reason for that beyond the resume. So it has to do with the eye test or efficiency numbers. And taking that into account, I have them as a 3 seed now. I would feel more comfortable putting them down lower, but I'm afraid to now that the committee told us what they like.
Now, and I'm with you. I have a lot of questions about Villanova, and they could answer them because Creighton's going to come off a loss against a team that had a win in Cincinnati on Saturday. Creighton, and you and I talked about this last time you were on, Shelby. Creighton's got kind of an interesting resume. The top half, the Q1s and the Q2s, okay. But they still have those losses in Q3 that are hanging around. Your thoughts on Creighton's resume with the last weekend of the regular season coming up and then the Big East tournament. You currently have them as a 7 seed. What do they have to do to jump up, or what would have to happen to them to maybe fall from a 7?
Yeah, they've got really 4 bad losses. Butler's a Q2, but it's still not a good look. I think for them to move up, they'd really have to win the rest of their games and maybe get to the finals of the Big East tournament. For them to move down, losing the first round of the Big East tournament. And this week, if they play, I don't know who the schedule is. If they play bad teams, maybe lose one there, and they could fall to the 8-9 game. It's a bit of a stretch. It also depends on how does the committee view the Big East. Obviously pretty well because they have been going over real high, but of the first 5 seeds, Creighton wasn't mentioned in that. So they're already down at the 6th line at the reveal, and I don't think they've done anything to prove themselves. So I think the committee, I think 7 is a good number for them. It depends on the committee's view.
You think that 5 teams from the Big East will get in?
I think it's possible. I've got 4 right now. No, I've got 5 right now. I just put Connecticut in. So they're barely there. And, of course, they're win-lose. They could go either way. I think St. John's is still in play. They could possibly get 6. I think it's a long shot, though. But at least they're in the discussion. I think 4 is a given. I don't speculate on 3 or 7. It didn't happen.
All right, what happened? What? The other conference in the Big Ten? I think a couple weeks ago, they were sitting at 10. Indiana and Minnesota were making your life a little bit easier. Now it looks like there's 8 from the Big Ten. Indiana is part of your next 4 out. And Archie Miller may be the first coach out when the season is over. Minnesota has not helped themselves at all. They got beat by Northwestern, got beat in Lincoln against Nebraska the other night. They are in your list of others considered for at-large. And then Michigan State is one of those teams that is in the first 4 out. Let's go with Michigan State. Michigan State had beat 2 top 5 teams in the span of 3 days, and then they ran into a Maryland team yesterday that continued to... You know, they have a very interesting resume, and you got them currently as an 11. Michigan State's got Michigan twice here at the end, Shelby. What's the roadmap look like for Michigan State getting in the NCAA tournament?
I think if they win one of those, they're in. And Michigan would be a really, really a marquee win. If you lose both of them, I think you're still alive, but then you're going to do some damage in the tournament, the conference tournament. So I think one win versus Michigan and the end, can they sustain that? I don't know. Depends on the Big Ten tournament. They'll probably have to win a couple games in that to really keep hope alive.
What does Duke's roadmap look like?
They've got at Georgia Tech and at North Carolina this week. Win both of those, and I think you're still in the discussion. You might have to do some damage in the ACC tournament, but two wins would make me feel good about it.
We've talked about the Missouri Valley Conference. Loyola and Drake have been ranked. Drake just split this weekend. Loyola won the regular season. Now they go to St. Louis for Arch Madness. Does the Missouri Valley Conference get two teams in?
I sure hope so. I want them to so bad. I think both those teams deserve them, but I really have a feeling that Drake has to win the whole thing for the get in.
Wow. So what changed with Drake?
I think they got tired. They lost a leading scorer, the best player. That hurt. If they were going to get him back, then that would change the way the committee would look at them. But he's done for the year probably. So they have to go with the team that has played and that will be going in the tournament. And I don't think that team has been impressive enough as the team early on.
Your thoughts on, we'll shift a little bit toward your neck of the woods, stopping in Lawrence. Your thoughts on Kansas? You currently have them as a 3 seed. They played well in Austin earlier in the week. Texas needed that win. They won the game in overtime. And then Kansas was pretty, for the most part, pretty thorough on Saturday night, on senior night, to beat Baylor. KU is sitting at a 3. Where are they headed? Can they move up a line? Can they move down a line? Where do you think KU is 2 weeks from now?
Yeah, I think Kansas has, I don't want to say turn their season around, but a few weeks ago, the big talk was the Blue Bloods not having good years, and Kansas was in that discussion how they weren't having as good of a year. And, boy, they really turned it around now. I know they lost a game in Austin, but they still kind of, I don't know if they zoomed up, but moved up pretty nicely. I have them at a 3. I think they can get to a 2. I don't think they can get to a 1. But 2-3 would be good. I think they'd be more 5th or 3. But they could possibly fall to a 4, but they only have good teams left, so probably not. Mm.
The other day I watched Cade Cunningham, and I'm wondering, okay, how many people in Minnesota and Detroit are watching Cade Cunningham? Because there is the fade for Cade, and he goes for 40 in the first matchup of Bedlam against Oklahoma. And Oklahoma State's got a very interesting resume, a good resume. They're 16-6. They get Oklahoma again tonight, and Oklahoma is 4, just like Oklahoma State is. Any update on if the NCAA will allow Oklahoma State into their tournament?
Well, I figure in about 3 years they'll make the decision. They're notoriously slow, and I think this late in the game they have to let them play. They've done too much, and everybody is banking on them being there. I think they'd be, I don't want to say suicide, but it would be really, really bad to rule them ineligible right now. So I think they'll be there. Oklahoma State is quietly, as much as they have Kate Cunningham, as much as they had this hanging over them from the NCAA, they've had a quiet year. Mm-hmm. And they're really, really good. I think a lot of people are sleeping on them, and I'm not going to come March.
So how do you think this is going to work? Like, they are, right now, officially, they're ineligible, correct?
I don't know. It depends on whose story you read. Some people are saying yes. Some people are saying that it doesn't go into effect until after the tournament. So I don't know for sure.
Well, they'll get another chance tonight to make a statement when they take on Oklahoma for the second time in 3 days. And the final team I want to ask you about, because they've ever since you got back into doing it for this year's tournament, there's one team that hangs around the 2-3 line. Give me your thoughts on Houston, who Calvin Sampson again is having another great season with the Cougars. Some say this might be their best team since Faislama Jama. I mean, they're 20-3. You have them on a 3 line right now. How good is this Houston team?
I think they are really, really good, and they're gonna surprise people. Because I have seen chatter on Twitter about how this team is overrated, and I just don't think they are. I think they're better than a 3 seed. The resume isn't good enough to be much better, but the team plays very well. They've got the right pieces at the right place, and man, I'll be surprised if this is not the second weekend season.
All right, we'll get chatter on this, and I'll put you a little bit on the spot, make a prediction. 2 weeks from today, the 4 number one teams will be?
Gonzaga, Baylor, Michigan, and insert your team here.
Oh. Why'd you have to do that to us?
Just keep reading those.
Shelby, as always, I appreciate your time. Thank you very much. It'll be another night where maybe we'll have a little upending and some teams moving. But I appreciate your work. Thank you, sir.
Thanks for having me.
That's Shelby Mass from Bracket Wag. You want to take a crack at this, George? I think Baylor, Michigan, Gonzaga are locked into the number one. I think Baylor's going to get a little bit of, okay. I mean, it's only one loss.
Yeah.
It's only one loss. But, you know, they had eight players test positive for COVID. And COVID, that can be the only kryptonite. When Baylor is good, they're real good. I mean, they only turned the ball over 3 times against KU, but they did not shoot it very well. And KU played extremely hard, knowing what was on the line. But they haven't—they just don't have like they have their legs. So we'll watch them this week. They play West Virginia tomorrow. So that's, you know, Scott Drew is not hesitating in coming back. They're gonna be tested right away. Scott Drew, by the way, his name is being bandied about in Bloomington. Imagine Scott Drew in the Big Ten. For Indiana, as Archie Miller is at the end of year number 4, and they look like they flat out just cashed it in the second half against Michigan as they lost 3 in a row. Shelby, as we were talking about, has 8 from the Big Ten. He has 5 from the Big East, 7 from the ACC, and 7 from the Big 12 conference. Have you gotten a chance to watch Cade Cunningham? I know you're going to have your NBA minute here in a little
yes.
bit. There is the fade for Cade,
yeah.
Minnesota and Detroit. There is also – can you have the intern pull out the soapbox that I'm about to stand on?
Oh, here we go.
So watching the KU-Baylor game on Saturday night, I've already given in that this time of the year, Joe Lunardi is going to be on the split screen. Every game that ESPN is going to have on, Lunardi's going to be on there, and he's going to be telling you about what the implications are of that particular game. It's just, I don't lose sleep over it. My hair doesn't get any grayer. Just fretting about Lunardi on a split screen this time of the year. What I am upset about, and ESPN did a disservice to basketball fans and KU and Baylor fans the other night. I understand Cade Cunningham is really, really good. He scored 40. Evan Mobley of USC, really, really good. Jalen Suggs, Gonzaga, really, really good. A couple of guys that could be playing in the NCAA tournament are playing in the G League. They're all really, really good. You know what the NBA draft is? Not until the middle of the friggin' summer. So why are we doing a split screen in the KU-Baylor game talking about the NBA draft? ESPN, be better. We put up with Lunardi. We understand it. You pay him a lot of money. He's your bracketologist. Every game has implications. But we are in this case, Saturday night, the end of February. Why do we have to talk about the NBA? But they had their NBA draft guy on. And so you got Shulman and Billis are talking to him about the NBA as the game is going on. And that guy was all over ESPN on Saturday. Every time I turned on a game on ESPN, they were talking about the NBA draft, and they were missing key moments, like teams were making comebacks, and they had to talk to this guy about the NBA draft that is not until the middle of the summer. Come on, please. We put up with Lunardi. He pops up all the time. But we don't need no NBA draft guy right now. The draft isn't until June. Defend your league, George.
I got nothing. ESPN, be better.
Thank you. We will do the NBA Minute coming up next on the Gary Sharp Show on 1620 The Zone.